And correct me if I'm wrong.
I think we have to vote on these specifics because, and I could be wrong, somebody feel free to correct me, but if this is a plan that'll be filed with the DOE, what I wonder is, could we vote to approve the specifics in this plan to be filed with a further instruction to the administration to, you know, come back and obtain subsequent board approval before any, you know, sort of actions are taken that would advertise for additional teachers or whatever the steps might be in actually executing the expansion. Is that palatable?
I think that's required. I don't think that this doesn't authorize necessarily new hires or anything. It just says these are numbers that we want to.
I'm sorry. I mean palatable for our fellow board members who have some discomfort at expanding the numbers.
Yeah, we would still need to approve any new hires, any of those other issues. And number two, while this gives us the authorization to do it, I think we have enough flexibility to not necessarily move full force into this expansion if we see it in a few months as not necessarily being the right move. But we do have to do it by the end of the year, particularly if we want to move and occupy different buildings on campus.
I think also what we submit is just a recommendation of how we're going to allocate the numbers across the board. I think bottom line, when we submit this, it's just that bottom line number that we're expanding to across the entire school. Is that correct, Jeff?
You're muted.
Sorry. Yeah, the bottom line number is what what we'd be measured against, not necessarily the grade by grade aspect.
Yeah, so DOE okay, will.
So that was what we had asked earlier, that the specifics we don't have to stick to, but like the general, the number.
Correct, yeah, DOE I think will measure us. If we say we want to expand from 2,000 to 2,200 students, for example, DOE will look at the 2,200 number. They're not gonna look at it and say, how many you're putting in kindergarten or sixth grade, that we can make adjustments to. And we do that every year anyways. We make adjustments to those numbers. You have predictions, but the DOE doesn't get down to that level of detail and dictate to us really how we distribute it. And so that's why I say we do have flexibility in what we can do with the numbers. But I think that's the proposed plan going forward, which is best advice based on admin's recommendations and others with respect to if we were to grow, those would be the best places and the most reasonable places to do it. Did anybody else have any questions for Jeff? Is there anything else specific to the modification, Jeff, that we need to be aware of that we haven't discussed previously that we just want to make sure everyone's aware of?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so I guess unless anybody has any questions, I would suggest someone put out a motion to approve the minor modification as presented by the administration.
I move to approve the minor modification as presented for the next 3 years, 2022, 2025 years to present to the DOE as presented by the administration.
This is Aaron, I'll second that motion.
Any discussion or comments from anybody?
Okay. I'm not comfortable with the as presented.
Eva, can you, maybe we can tighten it up. Is it because of where the numbers, do we need to explain that we'll submit it as presented, but we'll come back as we implement, or like
would
how?
Would you like me to say as presented with the bottom line numbers?
No,
here's another way.
I guess,
hang on, Regis.
If Eva could just explain what her concern is it is it the overall number or is it numbers in specific grades that you're not comfortable with, I guess?
I'm concerned with the sixth grade numbers, because like I said, every year between fifth and sixth, we have attrition. We have, this year the number was larger because we increased the size of the classes in fifth and in sixth. That's why we added 52 students. Last year, I don't know what the number was, 30, let's say. So I want you to think of like 30 students that we need to add to just break even, and then another 44 or whatever number. It's a whole lot of new students for one grade. And I think it's very stressful to the school culture. I'm not comfortable with that, such a big increase for one grade only. It's different when it's at the kindergarten level.
So can I just, and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong in this, but in the application to modify an approved charter for the 2021-20, it does not ask for you to specify which grades will expand, right? So I'm looking at the form. It only talks about the percentage of increase or decrease in enrollment and, you know, associated questions. But the application itself does not ask for specifics about which grades our school will be.
So the application talks about specifying which part of your charter you're modifying, and that is so that page, the one that has the enrollment number, is the one we are modifying, and so that's the number we're modifying.
Right.
So based on other minor modifications for enrollment that I've done the research on for over the past couple of years, looking at in every situation, they redid and reprovided what the what they were provided in the actual charter renewal or charter application, just in a new, with new numbers.
Okay, so what I'm saying, like looking at the application now, like it doesn't specify that it's sixth grade that's going to be expanding and stuff, right? Like in this one. So if that is the case, can we instead motion that we approve to apply for the modification?
But what would change? Can I just ask? Like, I don't know that we have, I don't know that we've all dug into precisely where the board is falling in terms of like how many students go at each level. And so my only question would be, to the extent that we have a fully fleshed out plan that can be submitted in its form right now, understanding that the administration, we need to come back before it actually does anything. And so like I hear you, by the way, 100% on the grade specific concerns. And Ev, I completely understand what you're saying, but understanding they would need to come back and we would really discuss and fully flesh it out then. I'm just kind of confused. Like if we modify our approval, what gets submitted and what gets changed between now and then?
Yeah, it's not because the form that they're submitting, the actual calculation, is not getting submitted to the board. It's just the percentage, that minor percentage that has to be submitted, because I don't think we can submit any less. Is that the smallest percentage that we can apply for, Jeff?
So the minor modification is for any increase in enrollment between 5% and 15%.
That's right. So what's the percentage that we've requested?
So in year one, we're requesting 4.45, which is under, but year two, because of, you know, the increased waterfall of students, that goes to 9.54% over the previously approved charter. And year three is 14.98% over the previously approved charter. So years two and three exceeds that, which is why the state wants to know what your full plan is for the rest of your, they're not going to accept just 1 year. Like, oh, okay, we guess you're just going to, you know, at that point, those kids drop off. They're going to want to know how that waterfall works. And that's why we provide those details.
So if we provide the details this year, what is the room that we have for flexibility?
They're not going to hold us to those details. All they're holding us is that bottom line number.
Yeah, that's I think it. What we needed to. get a clarification.
They're not going to hold us to those details. So, they don't care how we allocate those numbers across the board, across the classes. They just care you're going to increase the number of students by that 4.5%. And how we do that will be up to us.
That is part of the.
He just presented that as an example of how they estimate, how the administration thinks would be best use of those of that allocation.
So I have a question, real quick, real quick, Marian. And I apologize. I think Eva, you said this earlier, and I didn't understand. So if our this is a little obtuse of me, but if our intent for the next year is to request under 5, why don't could we not have the same flexibility to increase in the exact same way that's laid out or in any other way that we so chose, as long as the bottom line numbers were the same, without filing a modification until the following year? Like, why do we have to file it this year versus next? Like, I'm sure I'm missing something. If someone could just tell me what I'm missing.
I was wondering about that also. Why can't we come back, let's say, in June and look at the numbers and apply again for the following year?
I assume I'm missing something though. So Elias, hold on. Jeff, can you just explain to me what I'm missing there?
You're technically not missing anything. The part of the plan does have unknown costs associated this time with utilizing that building. So this increase may not cover all of those costs. So by completing a modification now that would reset the numbers to that amount, we wouldn't be capped at 5% in what we look for as for the next following. Planning for next year.
Thank you. I think you said something about this in the call the other day, and that was when I was getting on the train and couldn't hear. So thank you.
I did have some discussions with, some other members of, Delaware Charter School Network and people that have submitted applications. And if you have in the out years, if you are going to exceed that 5 to 15%, it does make sense to include that as part of a minor modification.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess if I can just be clarified too, I guess, Aaron, and a lot of folks are questioning the numbers too, right? So there's the one thing, we need a modification to occupy other buildings on campus. That's one thing. So a modification needs to go in. Two is the piece about revenue, which is where the additional students come in. And that's almost impossible for us to work our way around. And so there's certain revenue projections that we need to meet. And those revenue projections can only be met by adding students. Now, the distribution may not be exactly the way some folks may like it or want it, and that we can have a discussion on over the course of the year. And you're right, I don't think we necessarily need to, if we're under 5%, to include a modification to the enrollment numbers, because we can push up the enrollment numbers, even those listed on the charts, and we'll still be under 5% roughly. And so we could.
I think we still need it because if we're changing location.
Correct.
Correct, Jeff? Yeah.
And there's going to be revenues that we're going to have shortfalls for next year that we need to make up. And so that's where the numbers come in. And those numbers came in at roughly break-even dollar values for the revenue losses. And so how those are distributed can be discussed, right, over the course of the coming months as we do a little bit more planning and dig into it. I think Anna Marie was saying, they're not fixed. The top line number is probably a little bit more of a goal, but we can adjust those distributions across the grades. But with discussions with admin, these seem like those entry points and transition points seem to be the more logical points to where you want to bring in your students, because you do have transitions. Like you said, kindergarten, 5th to 6th grade is a major transition point for students. 8th to 9th grade is a major transition point for students, with other kids coming in at other grades to kind of just fill in losses and maybe add a few here and there. But those are really the big areas where if we were going to bring in a surge of students, those are the most logical places to do it, even though it might be uncomfortable bringing in a lot of students from a disruption perspective. That's a more traditional transition point when you're moving from one school to another is sixth grade and ninth grade.
So I do want to say, like, I think Anna Maria put a motion out, which we should revisit and figure out before we move forward with, but I do think it's really important with this to make sure that to the extent, like, we should approve whatever the plan is to get it submitted, but we should really keep an eye on where we're adding people and how, and make sure that our teachers and our students are properly supported, because I agree with you, Elias, those are natural sort of inflection points, but when you are adding kids at the older grade levels, it's a very different thing, right, than bringing someone in at a kindergarten age. And so I just think I'm comfortable with approving this as submitted for submission to the DOE, provided that we all agree that we'll have a very tight eye on the implementation plan and we'll continually revisit both where folks are added and how they're added and what sort of additional support staff are needed for teachers, for students, what classes might be needed and all those sorts of things.
Okay. And let me just add one, let me ask one more question. I don't know if you know the answer, Jeff, but right now this is a notification to the DOE that we desire to modify our charter. Or is this the absolute end? Because it goes through a process with the CSAC and others to kind of review this and assess it. So my question is, along the course of that process, do things change and can things change as part of the modification request?
So the notification to do a modification, major or minor, that was actually in October.
Got it.
This, okay. I believe, is the submission of the application. I think the CSAC aspect is for major modifications. I don't think they're actually for minor modifications, but I'll double check on that with Leroy. But I think this is actually the application.
You're right. I apologize that you're correct on that.
No problem.
We did notify him of our, we had notified him of an intent previously. Okay. So we have the motion on the board.
How about if I amend the motion to say that we move to accept the submission of the minor modification to the Department of Education based on the numbers that presented by administration, with the understanding that the allocation of those numbers will be discussed fully with the board at a later date.
That sounds good. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second that.
Any discussion on that? Okay, so call for vote.
We understand. So if we are proposing, let's say, I don't remember, is it 140, an increase of 140 students, and we don't get to that number, and we get to, let's say, 100 students, that's fine too, right? We're bound by that number. We don't have to get to 147 or whatever.
Yeah, so I believe in your example, I think that would be under 5%, 50 students. I think around 5% is just over 100 students. So in that case, yeah, we would still be meeting our state financial framework metric by that. Although we may fail it in some other financial aspects if that were the case, but. To answer your question, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. Any other items that we need to discuss? I know you had sent forward some items related to some modifications to the union agreement, but I don't think the board has had enough time to review them. I know we got them late. I know you had sent them forward, but I would suggest that maybe we wait until early January to review those.
Could we at least have Elise Pappas or Jeff just kind of talk us through, just because I was under the impression that that there was broader awareness, and to the extent that there isn't, I think it'd just be great to have folks talk us through, and maybe Elias, if you could start at a sort of broader brushstroke of sort of the intent and what's going on, and then Jeff, you could perhaps layer in with specifics, that'd be great.
Yeah,
let me see what I can do for you over here on this one. So there's an interest to make the way that we have the EPRs distributed a little bit more flexible as they are now, because they're very specific to certain titles. And then what happens is that when those titles are not filled, or if that particular club isn't happening that year, whatever the case may be, then it causes a problem with the way that you're allocating things, because you don't have the flexibility to adjust to the clubs or the extracurriculars or the coaching or what sports you're offering, whatever the case may be that does this. So I believe in the initial engagement over here happened in November, and our exploration was probably around that time, and Jeff can speak more specifically to it. And so generally what the idea is here is to allow more flexibility from even when you're talking about department chairs or specific people that are doing specific tasks for the school, to be able to more easily get these through without having to be specifically line item by line item the way it currently is written in the contract. That's kind of like a broad stroke view of what the intent is here.
Yeah, there were some other corrections on the athletic side too, differentiating varsity, JV, and middle school. Well, middle school already was differentiated, but differentiating varsity and JV, as the original document didn't specify, but has the boys coach and the girls coach of basketball making different amounts. But the reason initially, my understanding is that one was varsity, one was JV, but it wasn't specified. So this re-specifies those items and actually adds an athletic director position as an EPR for high school and middle school. It adds steps to the coaching. Stipends in an attempt to retain and attract the coaches that we currently have, or to keep our programs running sufficiently. So that's kind of the reasoning behind it. But we would be fine moving or waiting for January for a review to take place, a sufficient review.
Okay. Did anybody else have any general questions about the adjustments to the union contract? And all these adjustments, Jeff, just to be clear, are only focused on the EBER appendix and the positions and roles.
100%. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And I think maybe what would be helpful, and I know you kind of explained a little bit of it in bullets, is maybe go through the original EBIR contract, what things that haven't changed, and maybe just add in wherever the things change in the actual language is going to be the way it's going to look in the contract as well, too, so folks can see what specifically was added in there and what those changes were. Because I think 90% of it, to my understanding, is probably not changing, or a great portion of that isn't changing. But that's where we don't have any clarity. So if we can maybe work that before we meet again in January.
Sure. Yeah. And what was provided will actually completely replace that appendix, because that's the way legally it has to happen. So part of the responsibility on the school's end would be by October 1st to provide all of the intended programming from a clubs and activities standpoint to the union. So that they have an idea of what the school was planning on doing and what's available that needs to be staffed. And then from there, it's just based on an agreed upon approval process. But yeah, we can provide that more in depth ahead of January.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Does anybody else have any questions for Jeff or Elias on the adjustments to the union contract? Okay. I don't think we had anything else. Did we have any other business, Jeff, that you needed to have addressed? Because I think we wanted to get together primarily to look at the modification, since that had a deadline of next week.
We've covered everything on my agenda, which I appreciate.
Elias, anything on your end as well, too, since we're all here?
No, that covers everything on my end as well.
Okay. I don't think there's nothing else that we have on the agenda. Did anybody else or any board members have any comments or questions about anything before we adjourn? All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn the meeting.
You have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you all. Appreciate it. 6:54, meeting is adjourned.